Daddy's home. There you sit in your favorite chair, the strongest man I ever knew, looking so fragile and frail, with your inner strength still shining through. Your strength, accompanied by the unconditional love of my dad, inspires me without limits and gives me strength I didn't know I had. And there I sit by your side and on the precipice of losing you. All I could say was, "I love you, Daddy," to which you'd answer, "I love you too." I could go on for hours telling you everything I want to say, and I was naive to think that I would have that chance some other day. I wanted to tell you so much more, but I couldn't fight back my tears of how you've made me feel loved and protected throughout the years. Your love for your family wasn't merely spoken, it was shown. And growing up, I slept soundly every night, comforted by knowing that my daddy's home. I also want to tell you how you've always been a hero in my eyes. No, wait, please don't go yet, Daddy. We haven't finished our goodbyes. Thank you for teaching me to be honest and to be strong, and for showing me to stand up for what's right and to admit when I'm wrong. Thank you for every broken heart you helped mend and for sacrificing all. I'm sorry for every time I took for granted that you'd catch me when I fall. Thank you for supporting each and every one of my dreams and for teaching me never, never give up, no matter how hard life seems. As far as dads go, you win. Hands down, there's no contest. And I know you're tired, Daddy, and it's time for you to rest. But one last thing before you go. I love you, Daddy, and I will miss you more than you know. I'll be able to sleep soundly, still, comforted by knowing that my daddy's home. That poem I wrote 3 years ago. I am coming up on 3 years since I lost my hero, my dad. I was raised by a Marine and his beautiful wife, my mother. And everything I said in that poem is exactly what I feel about my dad. And I figure if I'm going to do this, I'm going to be completely candid. I'm going to tell y'all everything as I know it and as I remember it and as I feel it. Because that is how he taught me to be, my dad. The last time I saw my dad, which was December 12th, 3 years ago, I was so high on meth that I couldn't feel anything. I didn't know. Okay, so I knew, but I guess it didn't, nothing just, he was gone. He was there, December 8th, my sister called me, and she said, "Daddy's sick." December 11th and 12th, I saw my dad, and then December 22nd, he died from lung cancer. But you know what, that man, he taught me how to be honest and to be strong and to stand up for what's right and to admit when I'm wrong, just like I said in that poem. And that's exactly what I plan to do with you guys. I plan to tell y'all things. I plan to be open and honest and just do what I need to do, because there's that part of my dad in me that says, you know what? No, you need to talk about this. You need to not be ashamed and not be afraid and not let anybody or anything hold you down anymore. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell y'all what happened from my point of view. I am Angie, and welcome to Honor Thy Cow. Now, I know that sounds like a silly name, but, you know, it is what it is. And let me explain to you exactly what I mean by that. So, if you've been in the military, you understand that acronyms are just a way of life, right? So, when I say honor thy cow, I say honor thy casualty of war. And by definition, I think that all of y'all know that a casualty of war, it is by definition loss of life or limb, or life and limb, whatever, you know, tomato, tomato, radio, rodeo, rodeo, huh? There you go. Boom, bitches got it. So anyway, loss of life or limb. And the things that I need to talk about are the things that made me lose my life. I didn't die, but a part of me died. And that's what needs to be talked about, because it was unnecessary and it shouldn't have happened. And it was a bunch of bullshit. I'm a strong woman. I joined the military when I was 31 years old. I should not be at this point considered 70% disabled from post-traumatic stress disorder because of some things that happened to me by people wearing the same uniform I was wearing. And I'm not trying to dog on anybody. I'm not trying to make anybody look bad or embarrass anybody or humiliate them or bully them or do the things that happened to me. It's hard. It's really hard. It's a lonely, lonely, lonely disease. Mind disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder. My post-traumatic stress disorder that I am currently paid 70% disability from the VA for is service-connected but not combat-related. That alone makes me feel really, probably a lot of ways I shouldn't feel, because, you know, I signed my life away to the military, to our country, because I expected to make a better life for me and my kids. That's what I expected to happen. When I did that at 31 years old, you know, I mean, things moved really fast, but like, I knew that was the right decision for me. I knew it was. I knew because I needed the discipline. I needed the guidance. I needed the money for school. I needed all these things that like nothing else mattered. Because I needed these things, because I needed to prove to my kids that what I was doing was worthwhile and that I was a mother that they could be proud of. And that was why I joined. That was one of the hugest reasons I joined. But let me tell you some other reasons why I joined. But you know, before I do that, because this is a long story. This is a very long story, because I joined when I was 31, and I deployed for the first time when I was 33. And it took
a few people 10 months, 2 weeks, and 6 days to change my life forever. I went from a strong, beautiful woman to a shell of that woman. I mean, and I have some other words to say, but I'll be honest with you. When I talk about this stuff, sometimes I get really lost. I space out. I get lost, and I try to stay on topic. It's the personal goal of mine to not let post-traumatic stress disorder take over me. And the way that I've learned that it can, y'all need to know, it's a lonely mental disorder, because you never know when things are going to trigger you. And okay, well, I never know when things are going to trigger me, and I never know how I'm going to react to these things. I never know anything anymore, when I was always so sure before. But I decided that I'm tired of all these things just being in my head and looping around and tormenting me day by day. So I decided that there's no way that I can be alone in this, and that somebody out there has to feel the same way that I feel. Somebody else out there has been bullied. Somebody else out there was sexually solicited by somebody that they respected and thought was their mentor. Somebody else out there has been raped by somebody who they should have been able to trust. These are the things that I'm going to talk to y'all about whenever I talk about these things. And just so you know, it's been a long time since these things happened. It's been a long time, and I've dealt with the torment and the memories and the nightmares, and I've dealt with the repercussions of not being able to control your reaction to an external stimuli, i.e. panic attacks and fear and those things. So I'm doing this because my dad taught me to be honest and strong. I'm going to be strong, and I'm going to be honest about all these things. I'm going to be honest where I don't want to be honest, but I'm going to be, because that's the only way that I'm going to be able to have the truth and to put the truth out there, and to maybe by talking about it out loud with all you complete strangers who I hope will become my friends. Because once I tell you my story, I'm going to consider you my friend, and hopefully someday I'll hear your story, and we can talk, and we can, you know, smoke a joint and fucking drink a beer, and we can chit chat about our stories. Yeah. Let's be friends. But for now, I'm going to go, and tomorrow I'm going to start on why I joined. So for now, good night. I am Angie. Hey, everyone. I am Angie, and I'm guessing if you're at the second episode, then welcome back to Honor Thy Cow. I told you guys that I would tell y'all why I decided to join the military, and you know, all the things that led up to that fun stuff. Let's see, I will start off. Like I said, my name is Angie, and I am a veteran. I am a disabled veteran. At this point, I am considered 70% disabled for post-traumatic stress disorder that is service-connected but not combat-related. I also am a daughter. I am a sister. I am a mother. I am a friend. I am a Lyft driver. I am an Instacart shopper. I am a paralegal. I am a fur baby mama. I am an ex-girlfriend. Never been an ex-wife. Never walked that plank. That's just not something that's happened for me at this point in my life. Let's see. Let's talk about some other descriptions for me. And these are not by me personally, because before I tell y'all these other descriptions of Angie, I will tell you that I am a delight. I am funny. I am sweet. I am kind. I am generous. I am loving. And you know what? I am alive, my friends. I am alive. And I thank God for that every day. Every single day of my life, my friends, I am alive. So when I tell you these other descriptions that I have heard about myself, I'm going to let you know they're not fucking true. All right? The other descriptions of myself, let's see. I think I started writing them down the other day because, you know, true to form, like I told y'all a minute ago, I'm a paralegal. And true to form, I do like to write things down because it helps in the grand scheme of things. Let's see. Okay, you know, fuck it. Can't find it. I've been drinking, so I don't feel like looking at the words. I'm just going to tell you the words. So, the words, let's see. I have been called a slut. I've been called a whore. I have been called a thief. I've been called a liar. I have been called disease-ridden. I have been called disgusting. I have been called a disgrace. I have been called a disappointment. Among other things. Yeah, fuck all them, right? Right. Yeah, not the peace sign, just half the peace sign. Fuck you, bitches. Anyway, no. So, yeah, I guess that's a discussion for here in a little while. So, why I joined the military? Because it's important. In the grand scheme of things, it truly, 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 truly is. So I told y'all last time I was 31 when I actually joined. And so not long before I turned 31, I had been going to school for a while. I was a single mom of two beautiful, beautiful, beautiful children. They are everything to this woman. Those two beautiful souls that I created, they are everything to this woman. Can't even describe the love that I feel for them. Always have. They know it. I know it. We know it. They are my life. Yeah. So, I'd been going to school trying to make a great life for us. And I'll be honest with you. I told y'all last time, I'm going to be completely candid. I have two children and they don't have the same father. That's so not a surprise these days. But I, at the time that I was trying to raise these two beautiful children by myself, and I do mean completely by myself, I wasn't getting much help from either one of the fathers. One of them, no help at all. The other one was sporadic. And in the for the respect of my children, that is as far as I'm ever going to talk about their fathers. But I'm just going to let y'all know that, just so y'all know and understand the desperate, dire situation that I felt I was in at the time. About a year before I had joined the military, I had gotten to a point where I was so broke that I actually, 3 days before I finally asked for help with my kids, I didn't eat for about 3 days, just to make sure that I had enough food for my kids. And I had to make the hardest decision of my life. I decided that I could just have my pride and not admit that I was failing, and let my kids fail with me. Or I could ask for help and send them where I know that they will be loved and well taken care of, and I would still be able to be a part of their lives. So I chose to swallow my pride and to ask for help that I was almost certain was gonna bite me in my ass. And it did, as far as that was concerned. I wound up losing custody of, primary custody of my son, because by the time we went back for our final hearing, I didn't have a job yet. I was fresh out of boot camp in A school, and I didn't have a job yet, so I didn't have steady income. And that was the only thing that, as far as I know, that bit me in my ass, because I had paperwork trails of the fact that what I was saying was true, that I was trying to go to school and that I had two children that I was not getting help with. And because of the Hawley laws in Texas, well, you know, financial stability is a big thing when it comes to taking care of a child. So I just had to bite it and deal with it. So my son went to live with his dad when he was 6 years old. And I joined the military when he was 7. And my daughter was 10. And yeah, at that point, I was really broke. And I was trying really hard to figure out how I was going to finish going to school to be a nurse. I had taken all the prerequisites and all of the classes that I could take that were actually a part of the program without being in the program before they told me that they were about to take away my financial aid. And I was told that if I was told by the people at the school, the program, the RN program, that they suggest that you only go to work 20 hours a week, 20 hours a week while you are in the program, because the program is quite extensive, a lot of work, et cetera, et cetera. So I needed to work full time. So that just really wasn't big. I had no clue how I was going to do that. I mean, no clue. And one night I was talking to my nanny, which is my sweet dad. Oh, I miss my dad. My dad's mom. And, you know, she was just somebody that ever since I was little, man, like we, you know, I got to spend spring breaks and summers with this woman. She was such an awesome grandma, man. Like she would wake me up at midnight homemade chocolate chip cookies and Bluebell vanilla ice cream. Like, we would have midnight cookies and ice cream and nanny granddaughter talk is what we would do. And that went on all the way up until I was an adult. And one night I was, just so you know, I am an advocate of marijuana. I think you probably caught that the last time. So I was stoned and I was talking to Nanny and I was telling her, I was crying to her about, like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. You know, my kids, they got to know that this wasn't for nothing. Like, I got to finish school, blah, blah, blah. Well, she says, why don't you join the military? And I said, like this, literally. What? Like, what? And she's like, you should join the military. I thought you... Oh, shit. Holy! She said, so... No, seriously, like, they have it all the time. They have the GI Bill. Like, you can go to school, and on their dime, and they will pay for you to get your degree, and this and this and that and that. And I'm, you know, and I'm stoned, and I'm thinking, like, yeah, right. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, like, you're making too much fucking sense. Like, why you need to stop this? Like, Nanny, don't you realize how old I am? Like, she's like, I don't think that matters. I think you can still get in no matter what. And I'm like, Nanny, I'm at this point, I was 30 years old. I wasn't quite 31. I think it was like February of 2007. Yeah. So why that sticks, don't know. But, you know, I guess apparently since it's a very important part of my history, it does make sense that I would remember that we were talking about it February of 2007, a couple of months before I turned, you know, the 31. So anyway, we're talking and by the end of this conversation, she's like, you know, you should just talk to your dad about this. Your dad was in the Marines. He'll let you know, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, it took me a few days of thinking about it. And then next thing I know, I'm talking to dad about it. And I mentioned to dad, you know, I don't know what you think about me joining the military, but I think it's a possibility. And before I could even finish the sentence, he's like, I think it's a fucking fantastic idea, Angie. And I'm like, oh, well, okay. Like, I had this whole spiel. He's like, you don't need it. He's like, I know you. You can do this. And I'm like, you know, everybody I've talked to other than you and Nanny are saying, are you sure about this? Because, like, you know, you're not real good with authority. You're not real good with blah, blah, blah. And my dad tells me, he's like, Angela Kay. Okay, well, like, so I just told you my name. All right, there you go. My name is Angela Kay. So, like, he tells me that. He's like, Angela Kay, you know. You know you. I know you. You can do this. If this is what you need to do, then you can do, you go do it. He always supported me in my dreams. You know, he even once told me without actually saying it that if I was a lesbian, he's okay with it. And yeah, well, it is what it is. Anyway, he tells me it's a great idea if I join the military. So before I know it, I am going up to the recruiter's office, all, you know, 135 pounds of rock hard yoga body and long blonde hair that I got at the time. Beautiful, smooth skin with freckles, and yeah, I miss that little hottie that I was. But anyway, so first place I went to was the Marine Corps, because I noticed that Dad had a new truck that did not have a Marine Corps seal on it. So I went in there and I got my dad a Marine Corps seal to put on his new truck. And then I made my way over to the Navy. My brother had been in the Navy, and he told me some really, really, really freaking cool stories about being out at sea, and how the camaraderie of him and his friends and his freaking Navy brothers, and you know, the stories that my dad told me about how it was just a brotherhood, and it was a crazy kind of friendship love that you just can't understand unless you have it. Like, knowing that you have to trust your life with this person standing next to you that you've never known in your life. And you have to know for a fact that this person will have your back no matter what. And it is a crazy kind of love that you have for these people. I promise you it is. It is. Once a veteran meets a veteran, you have a bond that is unspeakable, but doesn't need to be said anyway. So, anyway, on top of everything else that I needed, I decided to talk to them. So I went to the Navy and I talked to, well, let's just say I talked to Petty Officer Jackass and Chief Smooth Talker. We'll just call them that. We'll call them that. Yeah. So Petty Officer, what did I call him? Petty Officer Jackass Douchebag. I forget. And you know, like, he would have been all right. He would have been all right. But you know, like, this thing that I'm about to tell you right now, like, this should have been my first clue. It should have been my first clue. And, you know, like I mentioned before, like, I was about 135 pounds of rock hard yoga body. I had long blonde hair. I was hotter than I knew. And I know that now, looking back at the pictures and like seeing what I look like now, like I see more of what, I guess, what they saw. And I don't know what gets crossways in people's brains between, you know, somebody that looks like that, a woman that looks like that, that actually has brains and everything. But like, just because a woman looks like that doesn't mean that she's a fucking whore. Doesn't mean that she wants to hop on any hard dick that comes along. It's not like that, man. It ain't fucking like that at all. So, whew. All right. Hey, put the cuckoo back in the clock there, Ange. Hold on. So anyway, so like, I talked to these guys, right? And they're telling me about this life that I can have when I join the military. And it doesn't matter how old I am. Like, it don't matter. Like, I think they said that I could join the Navy up to 36 years old at that time. In 2007, that's what it was, 36 years old. So I wasn't even quite 31 yet. And so, what are you doing, Sage? Sage is my sweet dog. You hear all that noise. That's my baby over there. She is my emotional support. She is my friend. She is my, yeah, she's my therapy dog. She's my baby. I love her. She's not like a registered therapy dog, but like, she knows when things are wrong and she helps me come back from them. So anyway, so I was talking about Petty Officer Jackass. And you're about to understand why he's a fucking jackass. So anyway, everything they told me was just like win, 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 win all over the place, you know, until we get to, oh, wait, let me tell you all the wins. Ha ha, that might help. Yeah, I can see the world. Yes, I can. I can learn a new trade. I can get the money for school, because like, active duty, especially in the state of Texas, like, even if you run out of your GI Bill, well, then there's the Hazelwood Act, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, actually, like, once your GI Bill runs out, if you're still not finished with your degree, then the Hazelwood Act helps you continue with your degree like a scholarship kind of situation, maybe a grant. I don't know. Worth looking into if you don't know. I didn't have to use it. You know, some of the things I say, you might just want to have to Google them yourself, because Google is your friend and Angie does not equal Google. But I do know a lot of shit, and I will pass along anything that I may or think I might know. So anyway, yeah, so I end up talking to these guys, and on top of all those other things, well, then, okay, so, like, you know, school being paid for, that was, like, hook, line, and sinker. And then, like, I find out, hey, if you go be a construction mechanic, we got a $20,000 sign-on bonus for you. Hey, check that out, man. I could fucking use $20,000. I mean, even minus taxes, like, yeah, I can so get down with, like, $16,000. I've never had that much money in my bank account ever in my life. So, yeah, I can totally get down with that shit. Yeah, even though I wanted to be a nurse and I really wanted to be a corpsman, that was not available in the time that I wanted to leave. I don't know. I don't know exactly how it all just happened so fast, but next thing I know, I have made an agreement to go to Amarillo to sign my life away at MEPS. And, I have been smoking pot since I was 15 years old, and it was a really, 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 really hard thing to quit smoking pot when I was pregnant and breastfeeding, but I did it. It was a really, 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 really hard thing to quit smoking pot for the military. Really wasn't that hard when it came to my kids and their safety and health and all that, and that, you know, in that they were living inside my body and then were feeding from my body. Yeah, I could totally get rid of the pot for that. But getting rid of pot for this reason was holy fuck ridiculous. But I did it. And so a couple of days before I was to leave for MEPS, Petty Officer Jackass comes over with a drug test so that we can make sure that I'm clean. Like, make sure I'm clean, because, like, you know, this really isn't a drug test that you want to fail. And so he comes over and, like, I mean, okay, so, like, he had made a few comments here and there when we were on the phone, just like, ha, 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 I know where you live. I can come over to your house. Like, we'll just have, like, a fun little lunch. And I'm just like, ha, 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 like, you're married, you fucking douchebag. And then, ha, 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 you got twins on the way. Like, fuck you. Like, that's so gross. Like, no. Okay. Like, no, I don't want to just fuck you. And then, like, you're going to go home to your pregnant wife. Like, that's fucking gross. Like, what the fuck ever? I mean, hello, big boobs have brains. I'm not all retarded. Just because I have big boobs don't mean I want them to jiggle for you on top of you, blah, blah, blah. You're fucking gross, dude. So anyway, God bless. I didn't mean to, like, go off like that, but, like, that happens, okay, a lot. But anyway, so, like, he comes over to my apartment for me to take the drug test, which I pass. And then all of a sudden things got, like, real weird, and he's all like, you know, I got like 30 minutes before I got to be back. Like, you know, I see your room over there. I see, like, he just started making like so many fucking weird comments, like gross, weird comments. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Like, whatever. And then, like, all of a sudden he just like leans in to kiss me, which of course I like jump back and I'm like, what the fuck, dude? And he's like, oh, come on, don't tell me you don't want that. And I'm like, no, I don't fucking want that. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you're married. What are you doing? You know, and like, in all honesty, like, no fucking way was he my type anyway. So, like, where the fuck he thought, I just can't even, right? So, anyway, I'm like, he's totally mind boggled the fact that, like, I didn't even want to kiss him. I guess the fact that he was at my apartment meant something different to him than it did to me. The fact that, like, hey, yeah, yo, I've been smoking pot for a long time and I got to make sure that I can pass your drug test. Like, that's what's in my head. So, I don't know. But all I got to say is that somewhere in all that, I made it abundantly clear, so I thought, that I was not interested in him at all in that way. And I think that it actually kind of freaked him out, because I remember him telling me, he said, so like you're not going to report me, right? And I said, you know what? As long as you don't fucking try anything like that again. I mean, like, I'm new to all this. I don't fucking know. You know, I'm like, in all honesty, like, I'd been in a lot of situations where I've had to diffuse shit like that. I didn't know how important this was right then, though. But he was like, you're not going to report me, right? And I was like, you know what? As long as you promise that you're not going to do it again, then no, I won't. I won't report you. But just fucking know that, like, it's not going to happen. Like, it's not going to fucking happen ever. Like, no. Okay, so a couple of days later, at 5:30, I have to meet him up at the recruiter's office because we're leaving from Midland, which is where I lived at the time. We're going up to Amarillo, which is where MEPS was. And I don't wake up well. I mean, after I've had a little bit of coffee, about 30, 45 minutes, blah, 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 I'm all right. But like when I first wake up, like, mm-mm. And at 5:30 in the morning, like, no, I had to be there at 5:30. And at the time, like, I was a little bit of a girly girl. So like, I still did the hair, the makeup, blah, 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 you know? So that meant like I got up at like 4:30, had to be there at 5:30. Oh dear God. So anyway, we made it barely out of the parking lot before this motherfucker starts talking about maybe we could find a back road to pull off on. And I straight told him, I was like, man, like, I done told you that is not welcome. That is not cool. Don't fucking talk to me that way. Like, it's not gonna fucking happen. It's not funny. Like, stop, right? And I'm tired as fuck, but I'm like, this is going to be the longest freaking 4.5-hour ride of my life, right? So I'm awake, like, most of the time. He'd kind of brushed it off like, I'm just messing with you, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, trying to make it sound like, oh, now it's like a fucking private joke. Well, like, it's not funny, dude. It's not. Like, I'm stuck in a fucking car with you, and you're talking about, like, going down a back road, and I'm in a car with you, bitch. I mean, I know that, like, there's a mileage factor and all this other shit that you got to consider, but, like, that shit ain't funny. Like, if somebody's already let you know, like, that shit's not welcome, like, it's not funny. It's not cool. It's not, it's just not. It's words, right? Anyway, so We're on our way to Amarillo, and we're getting real close to MEPS, and he happens to look down and notice that I am wearing open-toed shoes, which, of course, is a no-no that he did not tell me about. So then he starts fucking with me about it. He's like, well, now, you know, well, we can't go in there, but, you know, I guess I can swing a little bit at Walmart to get you some closed-toed shoes. And I'm like, you know what, bitch? Yeah, you better, because you didn't fucking tell me about this. I guess you were, yeah, whatever. So anyway, after we go to Walmart and he buys me these little $5 canvas closed-toed shoes, I guess he expected a blowjob or something. I don't know. Okay, that was dramatic. That was dramatic. I shouldn't have said that. But, you know, he just expected all kinds of praise that I did not feel he was entitled to, since he did not let me know ahead of time that I needed to be wearing closed-toed shoes. Because had he have told me, I would have fucking worn them. As my son says, I have the memory of an elephant. I don't know if that's an elephant sound, but anyway. So anyway, we finally get to MEPS, and I'm just like so super stoked that this motherfucker is going to be out of my life for the next hour or so. You know, going into MEPS, it's a lot like going through TSA. They take your belt, your shoes, your stuff. They run it through the x-ray, and then you go in. And there is a lot of hurry up and wait, and hurry up and wait, and hurry up and wait, and talk, and hurry up and wait, and then talk some more. And You know, a lot of that is a big blur. I remember talking in a classroom. I remember taking a P test. I remember signing some papers, and I remember swearing in with like four other people. This was like the biggest commitment I had ever made in my life next to having children. Wow. Crazy shit, man. But I promise you, every word I said, I meant it and I believed it. And at 31 years old, when I took that oath, man, it meant a lot more to me than I think it would have at 18 years old. Because at 18 years old, dude, was just a hot freaking mess. And maybe I still am, but I walked out of there feeling pretty damn good and pretty damn empowered and feeling like I can do this. But I was so sleepy from having to get up so early. And so on the way back, we get in the car and we're on our way back. And I guess the motion of the car and everything, I finally fell asleep. And I wake up to petty officer fucking jackass douchebag giggling like a freaking 10-year-old boy with a Playboy. And I guess maybe you should know something, like I'm a little chestal endowed. Yeah, I don't know how to say that, but yeah, I guess I got some tiggo bitties. And when I fell asleep, they were wiggling with the motion of the vehicle, and this made this jackass giggle. And when I wake up and give him the fucking stink eye, he giggles and mentions going down a back road again. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, oh my God. Like, I mean, we've been in the car for a total of an hour. We still got 3.5 hours. I can't sleep, and now I'm going to be fucking awkwardly. Oh my God. Thank God that after this, I ain't got to deal with this jackass no more. That's all I could think was, after this, I ain't got to deal with this jackass no more. Right? I wish I hadn't have thought that way. I wish that I would have said something about his behavior and how he was making me feel uncomfortable and how he was trying to violate the UCMJ by infidelity. Yeah, that's a thing. Infidelity is punishable by the UCMJ, in case you didn't know that. I do remember that from boot camp. There's a lot of things that are punishable by the UCMJ. I don't know if they still are, some of them. I won't go into great detail, but infidelity was one of them that I remember for a fact. So, yeah. Then August 7th, I left for boot camp. And that is where I'm going to end this time. And then we'll talk about how this old 31-year-old chick that went to boot camp was called grandma and was like, I got your grandma, bitch. Anyway, once again, I am Angie, and thank you for listening to Honor Thy Cow. Have a good night, y'all. If my phone will ever open. All right, now, good night, y'all.